say amen to that this morning and kind of longing for the Lord in your heart. And let's go ahead and let the musicians go to their seats. Welcome to the house of the Lord. I trust that everyone survived the holidays okay. Yes. Didn't eat too much, didn't fellowship too much. Amen. So I trust that the Lord provided with lots of good fellowship and time with family and lots of good food to eat and all the blessings that come with it. And we just always want to remind everybody that Jesus is the reason for every season.
Yeah.
And not just Christmas time. So we thank him for his blessings. Good to see Brother David with us, his family. And we just love the Lord. Just want to pray for those that are here today for whatever reason. I know Sister Pansy's it's kind of hard for her to make it when it's raining, so let's just remember her. Pray that if it's going to rain, let it be some other day of the week besides Sunday.
Yeah.
And so if you have your Bibles, let's go ahead and begin reading in Luke chapter 11. I mean, he's blessed this morning.
Amen.
Luke chapter 11, let's begin reading at verse 14. This is speaking of Jesus, said, "And as he was casting out a devil, and it was dumb, it came to pass when the devil was gone out that the dumb spake, and the people wondered. But some of them said, he casteth out devils through Beelzebub, the prince of the devils. And others tempting him sought of him a sign from heaven. But he, knowing their thoughts, said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and a house divided against a house falleth. If Satan also be divided against himself, how shall his kingdom stand? Because ye say, I cast out devils through Beelzebub. And if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore shall they be your judges. But if I with the finger of God cast out devils, no doubt the kingdom of God has come upon you." And let's go to Proverbs chapter 29. Just one verse to read there. Verse 2. "When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn." Let's bow our hearts to him. Lord Jesus, as we come to you this morning, Lord, with expectation in our hearts to you, the King of kingdoms, Lord of lords, the author of life, the giver of every good gift, Lord, we place ourselves into your hands this morning. We take this service, Lord, and we just give it to you and ask God that you would move upon us. You allow us to sit in heavenly places this morning as we surrender to you, Lord. We pray that you would touch every heart, every ear, Lord, that we'd be able to receive, would hear and receive, and the things that you would have for us today. Lord, you are the great quickener of your word. I'm glad to know, Lord, that it's not my responsibility to break the bread of life this morning. Lord, it is your Holy Spirit you send. But Lord, we position ourselves this morning according to your word. Lord, just surrendering ourselves to you that you could use our faculties to speak this morning, Lord, to your people. Ask God that you'd bless each one that are missing today, Lord, that you would deal with their hearts. Lord, if they're slothful in some way, we pray, God, that you would move upon them. If the enemy has fought against them, we pray that you would remove that. They could come back to the house of God. And Lord, those that just can't be here because of circumstances out of their control, we ask that you'd go to them and bless them. Lord, let them experience your presence and leading and guiding. And even, Lord, let them meditate upon the things that will be spoken this morning. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And you can be seated. This morning, I just want to talk to you about the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Amen. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. I wanted to start out by reading a quote. This comes from the sermon called "Knoweth It Not." This was in the latter part of 1965. Brother Branham says, "We will never do any good with politics It's rotten. God's idea of having a king, a righteous king, is right. But politics is just simply spread out. You can buy anything out, cheat, lie, steal, everything else, as I said a few weeks ago, and look where you're at. Seek nothing but just a crooked mass of everything. But a righteous king can make his own laws. And you can kill a man, and if you know good politics, all right, you can get out of it. He said, but democracy is a good idea, but it won't work. Just like communism, all things in common. Sounds good, but it won't work. No, God's way of having a king like David was right. And he said, and you got one mind centered over it. Just like one leader of a bunch of geese and so forth. You can't get two of them or three of them, because then you mess them all together and you come up with any kind of idea. So we find the condition today ready for the coming of the Lord. And so based upon what we just read there, Brother Branham was talking about politics, and it's kind of interesting to me, but here at the end time, you know, politics has everything in the world to do with what's unfolding. We see it unfolding. The Word of God has told us what's going to happen. And so we can look and we can see it in politics. We can see it in Russia. We can see it in the person that's sitting in our White House right now. We can see everything that God has told us is coming. We see it all coming to pass. So it's all tied together. But based upon this quote I just read, then really right now is a good time for everybody to be mourning.
Yeah.
Right? According to that, according to the scripture we just read, it's a good time for people to be mourning, because our politics, it always has been, but it certainly is rotten. I'm more convinced now that that what Brother Branham told us about the beast rising up out of the earth in Revelation 13 is the United States. I'm convinced of that now. You know, sometimes you hear him say things, you don't quite understand it. You believe it, you lay it on the shelf, and then the Lord comes around and shows it to you. But this nation definitely was born like a lamb and wanted religious freedom, had civil and ecclesiastical powers. But then it began to speak like the dragon.
Right.
And that's the hour we live in right now. Our nation is speaking like the dragon. If you know, a lot of you don't have time to do it, or maybe don't have a desire to do it, but you know, I've been watching things, and I can tell you that this nation, the leadership of this nation, is a beast and have been for quite some time. Beast nature. And you know, a beast nature doesn't care, it doesn't regard for life of others, it just wants to satisfy self. And that's the kind of thing that we're going to kind of talk about this morning when we talk about a king and kingdoms, is because of the characters, the character of the ones that's sitting on the throne. And so right now, it's be an excellent time for people to be mourning and crying out, because, you know, when the righteous is on the throne, everything's wonderful.
Yeah.
But in the wicked, when they're bearing rule, the people mourn.
Yeah.
You know, and you'll find out that a lot of people, because of their slackness and because of their slothfulness, they'll reject the good thing that God brings them, and then they wind out with something on their hands that begins to make them mourn or make them cry out. But the thing that they're under bondage to is the very thing they've asked for.
Right, right.
Because of their slackness and their holding back from the things that God has called them to. And so we find out that if that's the case, and it is, we in the culture, if you notice, Brother Brim said, it's all rotten, and you know, God's answer to this situation is not politics, because you can't take a bunch of different guys and put them together. They'll never come up with something that's right, because you come up with anything. But he said the answer to that is what God's idea was, and that was to have a righteous king. One man in authority can make the laws that needs to be made. He can make his own laws. A lot of people would shy away from that and say, one man making his own laws, that'd be terrible. But if he's a righteous king,
right,
then laws and the rules that he makes will not put people in bondage, but it'll save them. And it'll always be to promote their goodness and their welfare. And so I would say that we're looking at, Brother Branham, in that quote there, I could say that's what we see right now on the horizon, is that right now is a good time for a change of leadership.
Yep.
And I'm not really talking about the next election, even though if you want to read into that, you can, because it'll probably apply, but it's natural type spiritual. But it's time for a change. And so a change of leadership. Now, if you know anything about history, you'll know that nations, all kinds of nations, ever so often, especially over in the Middle East, the people will begin to get in crying out because they feel like the leadership that is above them is not representing them and is not treating them right. Now, they'll have somebody that's in rule and they should honor and respect that one. But then when that one is using his power and his authority and all he does is bring the people into bondage, then the people begin to cry out and wanting a change of leadership.
Yeah.
And you see it all the time over there. They just send some leadership and put somebody else in power. A lot of times it's by a vote they do it. Sometimes by a coup. Sometimes by flat out war. But when the people, you see what I'm saying? When the conditions happen, and the conditions will happen because the people will have somebody on the throne that has not got them in mind. And they get that way because back over here when things are good and the blessings are flowing and they don't adhere to the thing which is right, they want to choose something that's a little less in character than what God would have them to choose, and they wind up in bondage because of the very thing that they've chosen. And then next thing you know, they begin to cry out to God or cry out for a leadership, and they want a change of leadership. So we see that happening in nations all the time. That's just the way it works. And so I would say, even for our nation, people are crying out now, right? There's a lot of people beginning to cry out. A lot of people who voted the way they did the last two times have realized, hey, you know what? We made a big mistake.
Yeah.
And I'm afraid it's a fatal mistake. See? But they begin to cry out now. But there's a pattern here that you can see in scriptures and the way this works. So they begin to cry out. And I wonder what's going to happen. And so they cry out for a change of leadership. And so I would say it's time for something to happen. And actually the sheer fact that people wind up in a condition like that is an indication of itself that they need a change, right? A change of leadership, a change and of course, if there's a change of leadership, it's a change of the kingdom that they stand for. And so that's what happens. Now, a true king... talking about the kingdom of heaven, and the kingdom of heaven has a king,
yeah.
Right? Okay, so a true king is not a wicked king. A true king always works to help his people, as I said a while ago, to his subjects. Under a true king, the people rejoice because he's a servant.
Right.
Believe it or not, he's a servant. The man sitting in the White House up there is supposed to be a servant to this nation.
Yeah.
The people who sit in Congress and in the Senate, and in the House of Representatives, those men were put there because the people believed and trusted that they were going to represent the people.
Yeah.
And of course, you've got a nation that's divided because some want to serve God and most do not want. And they all have a voting voice. So you have representatives up there and they're divided.
Yeah.
The people's divided, a house that's divided can't stand, the people's divided, the government's divided, and they wind up with somebody on the throne, as it were, and he's not a righteous king. And nothing personal against him, but by their fruits you shall know them.
Yeah.
And I'm not preaching about that. I'm preaching about a concept that will come out here in just a moment to let you know that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And so that's what you have. They put those people there believing that they will represent them. And next thing you know, they don't. There's no accountability. There's nothing there to make them do right and make them adhere what they ran on their ticket. And if they veer off of that, there's nothing there to correct them and put them out of office and put somebody else in place. If they don't, there's no checks and balance. It's all gone.
Yeah.
That's why it's the way it is. Otherwise, we could have a real house cleaning, couldn't we?
Yeah.
We could clean out our government and start with somebody. And you know what? Our Constitution says we can do that.
Yeah.
It's a government by the people, for the people. And our Constitution says that we the people could get rid of that government and replace it with other people if they are not following the Constitution.
It'd
be good for people to go back and read their Constitution. And so, again, I'm not trying to tell you about our government politics, but it's a good example of what I want to talk about this morning. And so a good king, a righteous king, you know, he does things that's always promoting the people because he's a servant. He's a servant for the people, and everything he does, he uses his position to help his people, to protect them, to promote them, to make things better for them, to provide safety for them, to protect them from enemies.
Yep.
Right? To protect them from enemies, that's what a righteous king will do. Because he's a servant. His heart is for the people. I know a lot of people say, well, boy, it must be nice sitting up on the throne, eating T-bone steak every day. But you know, while he's sitting up there on the throne, he has a whole kingdom to watch over while you're sleeping and resting well at night. He's having to figure out how to stop this enemy that's coming. And so the reason why I said it is because, sure, he has a lot of blessings, but he has a lot of things on his shoulders, right?
Yeah.
And so, but if his heart is truly for his people, then he don't mind staying up at night. He don't mind the late hours trying to figure out what's going on and how to protect his people and how to promote his kingdom and keep it safe. That's his job. That's his heart. That's what he wants to do.
Right.
He won't take every penny he can from the government and go far off to some vacation somewhere and spend money just lavishly because he knows it's there. He'll be more about working for the people than he would be abusing the people. But you see, that's a righteous king, but a wicked king, it's opposite of that.
Right.
He'll take that position, he'll use it for himself, promote his agenda.
Yeah.
That's what a wicked king does. And so think about, remember in the Bible, in Saul's, so when the children of Israel wanted a king. Now they'd come out of Egypt, Moses and all the things that had happened, and the children of Israel, God had been with them and gave them victories and all that sort of thing. And Samuel was the prophet of the land. And Samuel was such a prophet, the scripture said, he let none of God's words fall to the ground.
Right?
Right? Israel lived in an age where the manifestation of God through a prophet was so fabulous that they all had to say not one thing fell to the ground. And they came to Samuel when Samuel was getting old. They came to Samuel and said, Samuel, we want a king. Well, the thing displeased Samuel and displeased the Lord,
yep.
Right? Because God was their king. He was their king, and he would lead them through the prophetic words and through the leadership of a prophet. But they wanted a king. They wanted someone they could see with their eyes, somebody they could watch go out before them in battle.
Yep.
They had a desire of a king. So and the scriptures, I think, let us know that they wanted to be like the other nations, because the other nations had kings who would go out to battle. So they wanted to be like the others. You know, the last time I saw it, God has said that his church is a called out people.
Right.
Israel was called out of Egypt. And a called out people is called out to be separate from the world, living different than the world. And so God was their king. God was their leader. And they said, you know what? We want a king anyhow. And the Lord spoke to Samuel and said, Samuel, listen, they're not rejecting you. They're rejecting me. Because
right.
They've rejected me from the day that I brought them out of Egypt. Continually, over and over and over. And God said, Samuel, he said, I tell you what. You go ahead and do what they're asking. You go ahead and give them a king, but you protest solemnly against it. How many remembers the story? He said, you protest it, and he said, I want you to show them what kind of king they're going to get. And what did he say that king would be? Which is exactly what Saul turned out to be. He said, all right, you're going to have a king, but I'm going to tell you what he's going to do. I'm going to tell you what kind of king he is. He's going to take your sons and your daughters, and he's going to make them run before you in their chariots and make them your captains and make them part of your armies. And he's going to take all your servants. And I forget exactly everything the way he described it, but it basically summed up and said he's going to take your sons and use them in the military and make them carry his chariot and run before him. And he's going to take your daughters and make them cooks and confectionaries. They're going to cook for all these armies and all these peoples.
Yep.
He's going to take your servants. He's going to make them begin to work the land, and he's going to take your land and give it to all his servants, and you're going to wind out in bondage to him. You're going to wind out serving him.
Yeah.
That's what you're going to get, because you didn't want God's king as your king. You want something else that you could see with your eye that you didn't have to have faith with, because without seeing it before, you had to have faith, right?
Yeah.
So it's a faith issue. They didn't have faith enough to believe God, to stand there and believe that God was going to give them the victories like he already had as long as they stayed true. But they wanted someone they could see. And so he said, because you don't want God as your king, you're going to get a king, and he's going to be just what you want.
Right.
He's going to match just exactly what the craving of your eye wants. But let me tell you, when you get the king that you want, you're going to come to bondage for him, under him. And so the scripture said, if you want to read that, it's in 1 Samuel chapter 8, verses 5 through 22. Remember, verse 18, when he said, and you'll be in bondage to your king, and you'll be in serving him. I forget exactly how it said it, but he said, and ye shall cry that day. You shall cry to the Lord in that day because of the king that you wanted. Mm-hmm. And the Lord will not hear your cry.
Yep.
Now, if God did that then, with the people that's supposed to be a righteous people, and God could have done everything in the world and did do everything in the world for them, but yet for some reason they decided they wanted something else besides God, then God let them have what they wanted, and they went into bondage for it.
Yeah.
Right? If that happened with them, what about today?
Right.
Wouldn't it be the same today? Would a people, would a nation, would turn their back on God? They'd begin to vote in the wrong man. Right? Vote in the wrong guy. I don't have the quote with me. I actually got it on my phone. I can pull it up, but you know it because we quoted it recently. Vote in the wrong man and will bring a religious persecution. Right?
Yep.
Why? Because it didn't take the goodness of God and the leadership of God they had. And listen, it's in the Bible. There's your pattern, and God will do it the same. Mm-hmm. On the same criteria. Remember Brother Graham said, if God ever healed somebody on a certain criteria, under certain criteria of faith, and they believe the promise of God and he would heal them, then every person that comes under that same criteria, believing the same way God have to heal them too, or he did wrong the first time.
Right.
Well, you know what? If he ever judges a nation under a certain condition, because of a certain thing, because of their attitude toward his promises,
yeah.
If he ever judges that nation, then every nation that comes along after that, he'll have to judge them the same way he did that one. Will he hear the prayer of America today? He'll never do it.
Right.
Not as a nation. Never.
Right.
Or he did wrong right here.
Yep.
But God has a righteous king. He has a kingdom who's king after his own heart. And we know that actually turned out to be David. So we read the quote there where he said, God's idea of a righteous king like David. That's right. You understand the concept there?
Yep.
Saul, after the people mourned and Saul was what he was, then God had a king. God had an answer to what they needed. And it wasn't Saul. It wasn't the choice of their heart. Right? It wasn't the choice of their heart. It was God's choice of man after his own heart. That was God's answer. And so, you find out that pattern is repeating itself again today. Wasn't because Israel didn't have good leadership. They had excellent leadership.
Right?
None of his words fell to the ground. Being in the midst of such perfect godly presence and leadership there, the people wanted a king.
That's right.
They wanted something different than God. They wanted something they could see. You know, this is a type of people wanting organized religion. We want our headquarters. It's a type of that too. It's also a type of the nation. And so, that's what Saul did. But God's idea is to have a righteous king. Now, a king has a kingdom, right? A king has a kingdom. A kingdom main. A king's domain. That's what a kingdom is. A king's domain. It's the place, if you're talking about territory, land, it's the boundaries of which his authority reaches.
Yeah.
So all inside his domain, and all inside there, that's where his authority rules and reigns. So inside his kingdom, inside his domain, things are run the way he wants it. So if he's a righteous king, he makes laws and rules. So his subjects will be subject to those laws and those rules. And since he's a righteous king, the righteous laws, it'll be a righteous domain.
Right.
A righteous kingdom, right? The kingdom of heaven. Now, heaven consists of the Word, right? We know that. Heaven consists of the Word. We get caught up in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus in the Word. So heaven consists of the Word. So the kingdom of heaven is the kingdom that consists of the Word. The Word rules. The Word is the rule. You know what? And so the kingdom of heaven, when he said the kingdom of heaven, heaven draweth nigh, we're talking about a kingdom, a domain where the Word rules, and that domain has come down. Why? Because God's going to take back this earth.
Right.
He's going to take back this dimension. And so that kingdom of heaven where everything rules and his righteousness is come down, is going to take it back and begin to manifest itself here on this earth.
Yeah.
So a king has a domain, and those kingdoms have boundaries. Most of them have boundaries. They reach so far. You think about it in the days of Esther, King Ahasuerus. It went on and on about how big his kingdom was. He was king over 127 provinces. He pretty much was king of the earth at the time, pretty much at that time, you know, because of people dwelling over there. He was. That's how big and great this king was. But this kingdom of heaven that we're talking about, that's drawing nigh, what's its boundaries? You know, and I don't think I have words to describe it. I'll try to describe it the best I can, but I don't think human words could describe the boundaries. There is no limitations to it. So it covers the entire universe, and it reaches from eternity to eternity.
Right.
That's the boundaries of this king that's on this throne of this righteous kingdom, the kingdom of heaven. His rule, his reign, reaches from eternity to eternity. There's no place you could go in this universe that you won't find that he rules, because it's inside his domain.
Okay.
I was at my brother-in-law's last night. We went to visit for this kind of a little Christmas supper. We got together in fellowship and had some snacks and stuff like that. And he had the Star Trek show on. And we remember as a kid watching Star Trek. And always cool to see them whenever they take off, when this thing would take off flying like speed of light several times or whatever. Well, they had that on their last night. And, you know, they take off flying and then go across the universe, you know, who knows how fast or whatever. And they get way off somewhere in a place so distant you and I wouldn't even think you could get there. I know it's movies or whatever. But if that was in reality, no matter how fast and how far you went in that spaceship, when you got to wherever you was going, you'd find that that was still the domain of God.
Right.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
There's no limitations. And this is the kingdom that's coming down, that's at hand. I don't think Obama's got a chance. I don't think the rest of them have a chance. They think they do. Everything's getting all into turmoil, and it's going to get worse. But it's all because the devils are shaking and trembling because their time is up. Right? But this is what's at hand, and this is what's coming down. This is what's here at our fingertips. I'll say it that way. Maybe jumping just a little bit ahead of my notes to say that, but it's right here at our fingertips. Covers the whole universe and from eternity to eternity. So the king has a kingdom. This kingdom has a city that the king rules from. It has subjects. It has law, a law of the kingdom, the way things are operated. And it has order. It has order, not disorder. It's not confusion, but order. This kingdom is.
Yep.
And so we read in the quote there, this can only happen under the leadership of one. Not four or five, not 500 or whatever it is, but under one. The leadership of one, a righteous king, that's the only way that will ever come together where it can be a rule and a reign of peace because of one. And so we can see when the world is falling apart, then it's time, right? When the world is falling apart, then something has to come in and pick up the pieces.
Yeah.
Now you and I know that it's the kingdom of heaven that's going to take over. Well, what about those outside of the body of Christ? What's going to be their king? You know, Brother Ram said they're looking for a Superman.
Yeah.
Right. And did you know that Satan's going to give them a Superman? He's going to give them a Superman. We have a Superman. His name is Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ, he's our Superman. And so when the world's falling apart, no doubt, we read in the quote, he said, so we see. I read at the end of the quote, he said, so we see it's time for the coming of the Lord.
Right.
When politics, listen, this message is more pertinent now than it was then.
That's right. Yeah.
When it's so messed up and scrupled up, my wife and I, we watched a thing on PBS. We pulled it up on the internet, watched a little documentary on PBS, and it was about the immigration problem. And they basically said on there, they'll never solve it. And the reason why is because even if the Republicans come up with a good solution and the Democrats even agree it's a good solution, they'll never vote on it because they don't want the other side to get credit.
Yeah.
That's why, we read it because you get two or three together. You get two or three together, they can't decide on nothing, but you put one righteous king in there, then his rule. But you realize if you reject God, you don't get one righteous king. You get an unrighteous.
Yeah.
And they're looking for it. See, so what I'm trying to show you is that the world's falling apart and everything's crumbling. And there's a cry in the people, whether they really know it or not, there's a cry that the only solution is to have one who's in control.
Yeah.
And that's where they're headed. So are we, right? We've already got it. But they're looking for one to be in control, and that's exactly what they're going to get. And so, when the conditions come like it is, it automatically calls for it, and the people begin to cry for it, and they are crying for it. They may not be standing saying, we need one man to control the whole earth, but the spirit, the crying, the move of the land, that's what hour it is, and so that's what they have to. Remember how whenever it's a uniting time, and God poured out a spirit upon the earth to cause a uniting, and his purpose for doing that was to cause the bride in Christ to unite. But he poured it out on the whole earth, so all these other organizations and all these other people are uniting together because that's the anointing that's been poured out. I put water on my garden for my tomatoes. I know the grass is going to unite too.
Yeah.
It's going to rally around the water, but I'm not watering it for that. I'm watering it for the purpose, and I'm just having to deal with the concept. So God wants to cry in the hearts of his people to cry out for that kingdom to come, that one domain.
Yeah.
And that since that's present in the land, then the rest of the world is going for that same thing. So they're going to have an antichrist. They're going to have one who sets in power and authority because that's the hour that we're living in.
Yeah.
But the purpose is for... Because remember what I said? God places in the hearts of the people the cry, and then he turns around and gives them what they're crying for. So we cry out for this coming of the kingdom of heaven. And then he puts that in our heart and we come and we get it. But on the negative side, they go down the same track that we do, looking for a king. Because they rejected God, they can't have what you and I are getting.
Yeah.
So they're empty, if you want to put it that way. They don't have God filling that void, so there's a void there, and Satan is a void filler.
Yeah.
When you take light away, darkness automatically comes in. Right? So if you don't want a righteous king on the throne, you're going to have a bad one.
Right.
It just automatically happens.
Right.
If you don't want God in your house, if you don't want him to rule and reign in your own affairs of your house and your family, you know, that's okay. You don't have to choose the devil, because if you reject God, it's automatically the devil.
That's right. Right.
This kingdom has structure. It has character. It has rules, and it has all the things that you need. It doesn't have chaos. It has order. That kingdom has that. But if you reject it, then you don't have order. You've got chaos. You have all questions and all kinds of turmoil. You have no answers to daily problems. Think about it. You talk to people, they don't have answers for nothing.
Yeah.
But the believer has the answer. Because they're not rejecting the righteous king. They're saying, God, we want you for our king. We want you for our leadership. But Satan is a void filler. So they're seeking and wanting after a king, and he will fill that void. But I'm here to tell you, there's already a king on our hearts,
yeah,
the throne of our hearts. Ain't no place for Satan on this throne, because Jesus Christ is there, right? Jesus Christ is on the throne of your heart. If he's not on the throne of your heart, then you can expect chaos, confusion,
right,
war, and everything opposite of peace. But if he's on the throne of your heart, now, and I said, I think I mentioned earlier, but this is a good time to bring it up again. Examine the fruits of it.
Yep.
You can say, well, I got Jesus on my heart, but what about it?
Yep.
Constant confusion, constant arguing, and constant turmoil in your life?
Mm-hmm.
Think about it.
Yep.
'Cause, so just examine it. And so we already have a king that's on our heart. Satan has no room.
Yeah.
And we read in the scriptures there where they said, well, you're casting out devils by the prince of the devils, Beelzebub. And he says, well, if a kingdom divided, it won't stand. So Satan's not a healer. Because if he was a healer, then he'd be fighting against himself.
Right.
And his own kingdom would fall because of his own confusion. See, he's not a healer. Only God's a healer. And this will bear witness here again. So he said, now, you remember whenever John was in prison, John the Baptist was in prison, and he sent his disciples to Jesus and said, ask him, are you really the one that was to come, or should we look for another?
Yeah.
Right? What did Jesus tell him? What did Jesus tell him? Jesus said, go tell him what you see happening.
Yeah.
Right? The blind eyes are open, the lame walk, the dead are raised. And blessed is he who's not offended in me.
Yep.
The word. Right? He's the word. So, when John said, are you that one that was to come? Are you the one? I want to know, is this the thing that was to happen? Jesus said, go tell him what you see happening. The blind receive their sight. The gospel is preached to the poor. You know, the lame walk, and I forget, but you understand the concept. And so, in this scripture where we read it, Jesus said, they said, well, he does that by the prince of the devils. And Jesus said, well, if that's the case, then, you know, kingdom's divided and it won't stand. And he said, however, he said, but if I do these things, if I cast out devils by the finger of God, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. So the kingdom of God had come down in that day, and was their presence. And remember, the go preach the gospel of the kingdom. So when you preach and you carry the gospel, when you're preaching the gospel of the kingdom, the gospel of this word, the good news, the gospel is basically a message letting you know that kingdom has come down and is now here present. It's come upon us for a reason.
Yeah.
Why? Because God desires to take things back. He desires to take and redeem those which were lost, and eventually take the earth back over and take everything back from Satan.
Yeah.
Right? Because he's the one over it right now. Satan is this earth. Okay? So he's going to come take that over. And so to preach the gospel of the kingdom is to preach and to demonstrate and for it to be vindicated that kingdom is at hand.
Right?
Right? So when you heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out devils, the gospel is preached to the poor, and sins are forgiven. These are all signs. These are all things showing you that the kingdom of heaven is here, at hand, present, ready to go on behalf of your needs and to begin to take over this domain.
Yeah.
Right? That kingdom is to come and take over all of these earthly kingdoms.
Yeah.
And the first place that it can start with you is the kingdom of your heart. To let that kingdom which is at hand take over your heart.
Amen.
Let him begin to sit on the throne of your heart, begin to rule and reign your flesh, your house, your community, your nation, and eventually the entire world, because that's where it's going and that's the way this is going to work, regardless of what the governments of the world think.
Yep.
The believer is going to take over this world.
Yep.
Not in the way that people would think,
right,
but we're going to be on this earth in a time of peace. We're going to take it over. And so, those things, healing the sick, raising the dead, casting out devils, those are signs that kingdom is here. Why? Why is that signs of the kingdom of heaven? Because these are things that are being dealt with that only God can do.
Yeah.
These are things that man cannot deal with. Could you heal somebody?
No.
Could you raise somebody from the dead? Right? You couldn't heal the sick? Can you cast out a devil in yourself? Can you do that? Right? Can you forgive sins? Can you cause somebody's sins to be remitted? And so these are things, the point I'm getting at, these are things that are unconquerable by human man himself. But when the kingdom of heaven comes nigh, this is a regular, everyday occurrence.
Yep.
Heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out devils, preach the gospel to the poor. Everyday occurrence.
Yep.
When the kingdom of heaven is at hand.
Right.
So the kingdom of heaven comes down to show you that God's here to take this thing over. And he wants to start with you. First of all, he's going to forgive your sins. He's going to heal you of whatever's ailing you inside. And physically heal you. See, he's going to heal you and fix you and all those things, doing what you and nobody else could do.
Yeah.
So you know that there's something present here that's greater than man, greater than the United States government, greater than the 175 nations who got together the other day to vote on this global climate change nonsense. They're going to change nothing. They can't even change their own attitudes about stuff. How are they going to come together and change? Really? But I know one who can change the storms.
Amen.
And he changes the storms of life first. Because you see, he's going to take over this world, but it starts right here. It starts with you. The king takes over and rules and reigns in his kingdom from his throne.
Right.
And his throne is in his city, and his city is in his domain.
Yeah.
Right? He's a righteous king. He has this domain. He has a city he rules from, and he has a throne he rules from. And guess who his city is? The bride of Christ is his city. So he rules and reigns from her. So this world is going to crash at the things that God is doing as it emanates out from his bride. This world's coming down. And he's going to take it over. May not feel like that from day to day, but I'm telling you what the gospel tells us. We have the gospel of the kingdom of heaven. And so, God, that kingdom shows you that it's the kingdom of God because it's dealing with things that nobody else can deal with. Satan can't even do these things, see? He can mess them up, but he can't fix them. When I was a kid, I could tear stuff up, but most of the time I couldn't fix it. You know what I'm saying? It's one thing to tear things up, but it's another thing to fix them. See? So this kingdom has come down, is at hand now. It's present. Been here all this time. Ever present, God, ever present here to make right that which he has said and promised would come. And he invites you to be partakers. Not just be partakers. Not just to live inside his domain, but as the bride of Jesus Christ to actually be that ruling authority figure. That rule and reign from you going out, you sitting there with him on that throne, and that going out into the whole world. His invitation to you is that you believe his word and let this kingdom come inside you.
Amen.
Because if that kingdom comes inside you, now he is on the throne. That makes you the throne of God.
That's right.
That makes you the city of God. And that makes you have the one inside you who can send out his rules and his righteous commands and his righteous living and cause those around you to be influenced by that righteousness.
Right.
All the way to the end of his domain, which is from eternity to eternity. So is there anything out of our reach? Think about it. Sooner or later, we got to get this right. Sooner or later, that right concept and revelation, right motive, right objective has got to strike us where we realize what we can do.
Amen.
That we can change things all the way as far as eternity goes.
Yeah.
I got a quote and then I'll read just a little bit. You see, Brother Bram says the same thing. And so his invitation is to get you to believe and to allow that kingdom to come inside of you. Let's read a couple of scriptures. Luke chapter 17, verse 20 and 21. And when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation. Remember, they wanted to see Saul. They didn't want to trust by faith in that king that was there that was taken, but they wanted to see it. But here he says, it comes not with observation. Right. This thing's not going to be physical before us, not for some time. It'll eventually manifest. Neither shall you say, lo here or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is what? Within you. Let's go to Romans 14. I believe it's 14:14. I hope I wrote that down. For the kingdom of God is not in meat or drink, but here's what the kingdom of God is. It's righteousness, peace, and joy in what?
The Holy Ghost.
In the Holy Ghost. When he comes inside you, he begins to cause righteousness and peace and joy to emanate from you. You've got a king of righteousness, king of peace on your heart.
Yep.
Where's all the turmoil coming from then? Mm-hmm. Where's all the division coming from then? If that's what you have in your life, then who's on the throne? Just examine it by the fruits of the thing and see what's going on. So it's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost.
Yep.
So he invites you to have this kingdom come down into him. The kingdom, as I said, has a city, and it's the new city, Jerusalem. Jerusalem, the king of Salem, Melchizedek was the king of Salem, and Salem is his king of peace, and that's Jerusalem. So this new Jerusalem is the city of our great God, and it's the city of peace, and it's the bride of Jesus Christ. Right? It's the bride of Jesus Christ. I remember hearing Harold Beckett talk one time, excellent ministry of teaching, and he said, you know, when you go to every city, a city has a female connotation to it. Because every time you go to any city, and I've traveled quite a few places myself, and it's right, I can see this, every city has a spirit about it. And that city has a female connotation. Why? Because if you remember, a city is built and then inhabited by the people who build it.
Yep.
God builds his church and then inhabits his church. Right? See, and that's why the seven church ages are typed out as cities. Right? And so a city is created and then it is inhabited by its creators, and it's a glory to them. And then the glory of the city could be the people in there, their nature and their character. But this city has a character and a glory to it, and it's created by them and has a female connotation. And every time you go somewhere, the people that I go and I visit, whether it be in missions work or working for Ballard or going to different places, go to Finland, when I went to Finland, when you go to these places, the people who live there, who receive you, first thing they want to do is go show you their city.
Yeah.
They want to go show you this, and they want to go show you that, and they want to go show you something else, because it's a female. And if you understand, you read between the lines.
Yeah.
You know, King Ahasuerus wanted his wife to come. She was beautiful. He wanted her to come. He wanted everyone to see the glory. She refused to come. She refused to be that glory of him.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Well, you know what? If a people of a city didn't like the way the city looked, they'd give it an overhaul.
Yeah.
Right? They'd give it a change. But you understand, a city represents the inhabitants. And so the city of peace, so the king of peace sets on the city, in that city, and that is a city of peace and of joy, right, and righteousness.
Yeah.
This is what's on the throne of the heart of a believer, is what's supposed to be on the throne of the heart of a believer, right? Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Then if that's what's on the heart, then that's what the city is going to represent, and out from that city is going to be issuing those commands of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's what gets sent forth. That's the effect. That's the influence that you'll have all around you. And what I'm trying to show you is that God has chosen you. He's living in you, and he's going to take over this world through you, not ISIS. He's going to take this world over through you, and it's going to come out from you. But judgment first starts at the house of God.
Amen.
So he's got to get good rule and reign over your heart before he can start changing the rest of the world. He has to get good leadership And total submission upon the throne of your heart before he can start manifesting it in your flesh and in your home and in your nation and your city and what more, you see? So it always goes back to the bottom rung of the ladder. You can't go up the ladder if the bottom rung's not right first.
Yeah.
And that's where it is. But this kingdom of heaven is headed to the top of the ladder. God's going to get it done. And he's not going to jump rungs to do it. So he's going to get the hearts of the people right. He's going to get the revelation right in her heart, and they're going to move on, and he's going to take this world over by it. Because he promised he would. And so judgment, as I said, judgment starts first at the house of God, and it's going to take over. Remember in the book of Daniel, where the rock was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that rock smote the image of all the Gentile kingdoms, and they blew away like chaff of the threshing floor, and that rock became a kingdom and it filled the entire earth. That's the coming of the Lord. Did you know that happened in our day? Mm-hmm. That process is happening right now in our day.
Yeah.
Right? That rock cut out of the mountain without hands, the revelation of Jesus Christ striking this Gentile world and destroying all those things. And eventually it'll all be blown away and this revelation will fill the earth. That was in the book of Daniel. The book of Revelation is chapter 11, verse 15, and I didn't have her pull it up. If she wants to pull it up, she can, but I forgot to put it on there. Revelation chapter 11, verse 15, it says, "For the kingdoms of this world," this is, now notice when this is, "the seventh trumpet." What a wonderful time. The seventh trumpet when it sounds.
Yeah.
Think about it. "And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in him saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever." All the kingdoms of this world are being taken over. They first have to crumble. Do you realize that if we were going to go in and take another kingdom, first you have to destabilize that kingdom? They put sanctions around them. They do all kinds of stuff. Think about it. Now listen,
yeah.
The world's falling apart. Brother Brand preached it about four different times, that sermon, the world's falling apart.
Mm-hmm.
If God wanted to come in, he's going to do just like we would do, right? Or we would do like he would do. We would go in and take a kingdom. We're not going to go in and we're all full of strength, right?
Yeah.
So we're going to put sanctions around them. We're going to cut off their supplies. We're going to weaken them. We're going to put all kinds of things in that are causing all kinds of unrest and confusion among them. And everything inside is going to be crumbling. And that will make it easy for us to come right in there and just take over.
Yeah.
Why is this world falling apart? Why can these people not get it right? They've had all these years and they still can't get it right. Our government still can't get it right. Why? Because this kingdom's taken over. Kingdom of heaven has come. And all these things have to crumble. So I trust and pray that while this happens, that you're not too connected to these things of below.
Yeah.
That these kingdoms right here it talks about, the kingdoms of this world, right? I hope you're not too connected to them because they're fallen.
Yeah.
And if that's where our confidence in is in there, we're in big trouble. Doesn't look too good for us if that's where we put our confidence. But if our confidence is on that kingdom that is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost, that he, the righteous king, is sitting on the throne of our hearts, if that's where our peace is, that's where our joy is, that's where we got all of our confidence, then while all these other things crumble, we still have peace with God. There's nothing like, I know many of you probably experienced this, but when you got storms going through the area and they're threatening tornadoes and all that, and you just enter into prayer.
Yeah.
And you just enter in, there's a presence, and you just say, you know what? God, I just commit it all into your hands. I'm not worried about it.
Right.
It's what I did last night. I went out, prayed over the situation. I went to bed. And as it all went through, I don't know what happened, maybe there wasn't, but I know they were calling for all kinds of bad stuff. I just prayed and went to bed and believed God, and I rested, and I think I woke up at about 4 o'clock this morning. But that's my point. This righteousness, this kingdom of heaven, kingdom of righteousness that's upon us now, is at our fingertips now. It's actually within our hearts. I think that God wants us to begin to learn how to use that and be that and to believe it. So there is in Revelations chapter 11, these kingdoms of this world, they are crumbling and becoming the kings of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the scripture said he's King of Kings. King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So he's king over other kings, right? King of Kings. Well, who are these little kings? Right? He hath made us kings and priests.
Amen.
See? So you've been faithful over a little, now I'm going to make you ruler over a lot. That's what it said.
Yeah.
Right? You've been faithful over a little. He didn't say you've been ruler over a little. I heard it yesterday. I was listening to the Bible. He said, you've been faithful over a little. Now I'm going to make you ruler over a lot, over much. That's God's concept. You know, there are some things about these, as they say, the prosperity preachers. They phrases, I think, I forget what they are. They blab it and grab it, and I forget what all the different phrases they have, but they got this one thing right about seed, sowing seed, and they'll reap from it.
Yeah.
And they figured that out, but it's all going in the direction of physical, monetary status of this life. They're building up their kingdoms in this life, and part of those kingdoms is falling. See, they got seed sowing. They got that right, so they can sow some money. Next thing you know, they become rich.
Yeah.
Because they do. They're working off of a principle of God. But we're not worried about those things. I don't want to sow seed into the natural life where I can reap all kinds of natural benefits and then have it crash and fall to the kingdom of heaven. I want to fall upon that rock instead of that rock crushing me and grinding me to powder. Right? And so, but the concept is they've got that right, but what about in the spiritual matters to sow seed that we get the right crop back?
Yeah.
And we're sitting right here telling you that we have a kingdom within us that can raise the dead, cast out devils, can have the gospel preached to the poor, the people that sins can be forgiven. All those things are there. The very first commission that Jesus gave his disciples, go out and do these things. And the last commission just before he left, he said, go out and do these things.
Yeah.
Right? It's still with us. We have those things here, and we can sow and we can reap of the kingdom of heaven.
Yeah.
We can sow seed of the kingdom of heaven, and we can reap things of the kingdom of heaven. And get the genuine results. If you listen to a sermon called Five Definite Identifications of the True Church. That'd be a good one for everybody to listen to because he talks about the five identifications. And they're going to preach what you just heard this morning. They're going to preach the Holy Ghost. They're going to preach divine healing. There's several there in this there. But it'd be good for you to realize because there ain't very many churches out there that believe those five definite identifications. Not all of them. Some will have some. But it takes all of them. And so, I'm going to read a quote here and then we'll finish. From that message, Five Identifications of the True Church. Brother Bram says, how many knows what the gospel is? So not the word. Paul said that the gospel came not in word only, but through the power and manifestation of the Holy Ghost. The gospel is the power of God to make the word act out what it said it'll do. I'm going to read that again. The gospel is the power of God to make the word act what it said it will do. Preach the gospel in all the world. Preach the gospel just to the white people or just to yellow or black. Brother Bam says, to every creature. Amen. Every creature. He said, do you believe that means that? Preach the gospel to every creature. And he said, do you believe it means that? I seen God baffle a bull one day. I seen him cause hornets not to sting. I seen him raise a possum that had been laying dead all night. Every creature, Brother Bram says, The gospel will take effect upon anything you ask.
Yeah.
Now, I got that underlined because I want you to remember that. The gospel will take effect upon anything you ask. You say, is that wrong? Brother Ram said, it's not wrong. And he started talking about Jesus cursing the fig tree.
Yeah.
Right? So Brother Ram could talk about the possum and the bulls and the hornets. The fish was raised from the dead. These are all scriptural concepts. Because Jesus right there, when there were all kinds of people he could use his gift on, and he cursed a fig tree. See, went through by the pool of Bethesda, multitudes of people laying there sick. He healed one man and went on, left the rest of them there. Because he only did the will of the Father. Because the will of the Father is more important than our ideas. So those two things I want you to remember. The gospel is the power of God to make the word act what it said it'll do. And the gospel will take effect upon everything that you ask. Remember what I said his domain was? From one end to the other, from eternity to eternity. Now we know the believer is not going to be asking for something unrighteous and something contrary.
Right.
As we get closer to him, more like him, where that negative and positive become more closer and closer,
yeah,
our hearts will be more in tune and we'd be less likely to ask something amiss.
Yeah.
Right? You hang out, when a man and wife hang out together long enough, eventually she's not going to be or he's not going to be doing something or asking something, being something contrary to what they are together as a unit.
Right.
Right? So, that's the way it is with the gospel. So the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Right? Kingdom of heaven is at hand. If it was at hand then, it surely is now. And it's got the same identifications today as it did then. Life-changing power of God present, bringing to pass what he said he would do. He can still save people in their lost and dying condition today. He can still heal. He's Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. The devil don't like it. I can't help that. That's his problem.
Yep.
But it's still the truth.
Amen.
God is still God, and he's still on the throne, and he's on the throne of our hearts. So if you don't have peace in your heart, if you've got constant contention, you need to stop and ask yourself, who's on the throne?
Amen.
Let's just bow our hearts for a moment as Brother Tim comes, and musicians. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we've shared this morning what you put on our hearts, Lord, we want to commit this message to you and we want to commit it to the people that have heard it. Lord God, because the clock is ticking and time's running out and Satan is such a master of making people waste time, causing them to lose track of time, and next thing you know, it's too late. But I pray, God, that's not the way and not the case this morning with the people that are here this sermon this morning. Lord, I pray that it's not too late. Lord, that as you have spoken to them this gospel message this morning, that you have shown them the truth of your word, that this kingdom is still present here now, is at hand now to do all the things that you said it would do. God, that we have access to that right now through the blood of Jesus Christ, through grace, through mercy. We can have all these things and then some, Lord. That your scripture said that it's beyond what we can either ask or think. Lord, we just pray, God, that that would be the manifestation in the hearts of your people this morning. Lord, that they will not procrastinate any longer. God, they won't put it off. They won't let something distract them. Well, Lord, they'll look upon the words they've heard this morning, believe it, receive it into their hearts, and begin to let the kingdoms of this world that's in their heart give way to the kingdom of God. Lord, we just pray that your grace and mercy would go with them and be sufficient, Lord, to let these things take permanent place in their hearts. I ask, God, that you'd help them now. Let this not go from them, Lord, but let it burn within them until it has taken complete course. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Let's all stand. We'll sing some worship songs here just for a little bit before we get out. You love the Lord.
Amen.
All hail, King Jesus.
not off in the future. It's right now.
Yeah.
You remember that the world needs you. That world out there needs the kingdom of heaven, which is in your heart.
Yeah.
Most of them won't accept it. I know that. But they need you. And the devil wants to beat you down and make you think you can make no effect on them whatsoever. But remember, just the smallest light can displace all the dark, all the darkness that's out there.
Sure.
You know, I remember I've told y'all before the testimony of when Brother Brian Melton's sister was in the hospital. And she was dying. Absolutely dying. The doctors took her out of ICU. I had never heard of this until then. They took her out of ICU, put her in a little room over to the side, and said, hospice can take care of her from now on, right there in that hospital room. And they told her, the doctor told her, you will not leave this hospital alive. And Brother Brian came and asked me if I'd go down there and pray with her. And I've told you this before. I went in that room, and you talk about dark. So he wants you to think you can't affect nothing.
Right.
That it's too dark. You can't. It's just too late. But that's a lie. If the devil opens his mouth, it's a lie. And he's talking at you. You say, you know what? Why are you telling me this? If that's the way it is, it's because it's not that way. And you're trying to convince me that it's that way. See? It was dark in that room. Looked like drug dealers, a bunch of people in there. That, you know, they were rough looking. And darkness and death and just... I imagine if I'd be in Brother Branham or had the gift that he had, I'd look in there and be black everywhere. Just black hooded shadows everywhere in there. And I walked in there and to myself, I'm saying to myself, what am I going to do with this? How am I going to fix this situation? I feel helpless right here. That's exactly the way I felt. There's a woman dying. I'm representing the gospel. They want me to pray for her. And oh, this is here and I can't. What am I going to do? How can I even get a word in, get it started, you know? But I just stood there while everybody did all their talking and all their nonsense. And under my breath, I was talking to the Lord. Because we have a kingdom within us.
Yeah.
We can conquer all.
Yeah.
Everything. And I just kept talking to the Lord. Talking to the Lord inside, waiting. Probably 10 minutes, which seemed like eternity. 10, 15 minutes. I know somewhere in that before I even got to a place where anything I could even say. But all of a sudden, I don't even remember what all happened, but all of a sudden, a doorway opened and the gospel came forth. And before it was over with, and I felt compelled to say this to her, and her boyfriend was sitting there beside her, and I said to her, if God... Now, they done told her she wouldn't come out alive. I said, if God will raise you up from this bed and heal you, will you promise to commit the rest of your life to Him and serve Him the rest of your days? And she said, I will. And her boyfriend sitting there holding her hand, he said, I will too. And you know what happened? God raised her up and she walked out of that hospital alive. And I said all that to tell you, I'm not talking about me. Because I done told you how I felt about it when I walked in there. But this gospel reigns. And I don't care what it is in your home and in your life and in your job and your whatever it is, no matter where it is. Because remember, Brother Brandon quoted, he'll work, this gospel will work on anything you ask. It covers from eternity to eternity. So I don't care what you're facing, this gospel rules and reigns. But you've got to let that rulership take place in the throne first. And then come out from you, and you'll watch it subdue the kingdom.
Amen.
That's the way it has to be. It has to come out that way. It's got to be, you've got to be convinced in your own heart first.
Yes.
And then you'll watch these things happen. And so, Brother Branham gave us a good example of it in his own ministry. Right? In his own ministry. I'd rather stand there and go down believe in that word, but you're not going to go down believing the word. But I'm saying I'd rather go down believing that word than to coward away from it and run from it.
Yeah.
And listen, a coward dies a million times over,
but
a brave man only dies once.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Now we can be cowards from the devil, or we can take that word and we can rule and reign. Our lives, our homes, our families, our community, Everything that God has placed on your heart, you can apply that, and it has to come down for Him. Now, I think that's third pool stuff, what I'm talking about there, to know that whenever everything is so chaotic and nothing seems to have any hope in it, there's a people on earth that's got a little secret down inside. Most people didn't get to see the King.
Yeah.
Right? Most people in the kingdom never get to see lay eyes on the King. But I tell you, those who have Him on the throne of their heart, they talk to Him every day.
Yeah.
Makes all the difference in the world. God bless you.
You deserve the glory.
You are